Lecture topic Abdullah bin Mas'ud part 2
Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin was salatu was salam ala al mab'uth rahmatan lil alamin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man walahum bi ihsan ila yawmiddin wa ba'd faqad qala jalla wa ala fi kitabihi al majid wa furqanihi al hamid a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim bismillahir rahmanir rahim فكيف إذا جئنا من كل أمة بشهيد وجئنا بك على هؤلاء شهيدا وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام تمسكوا بعهد ابن أم عبد أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام Honorable scholars, respected brothers and elders, amongst the many avenues by virtue of which we can reform ourselves and counter the negative impact of materialism and indulgence to which we are exposed perpetually, is to passionately study the biographies of our pious predecessors, Salafus Salihin, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. And whose lives better to study? And whose lives better to study than the noble companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? To start off, the first injunction in the Quran that came upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was Iqra, read. In other words, the inception of our faith, the beginning, it commenced on the note of reading. It is unfortunately, by and large, we do not read today, and those of us that read do not read the correct literature. Now, Sahaba was that group of individuals. Sa'id ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu's narration appears in both Abu Dawud and Tirmidhi. He said, Wallahi lamashhadu rajulin minhum ma'an nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yughabbaru fihi wajhuhu khayrun min umari ahadikum walau umira umru nuhin. A minute that a Sahabi spent with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in any campaign, in merit and in virtue, is greater than your entire life's piety, even if Allah were to prolong your life to the lifespan of Nuh alayhi salam. Many of us might not know the lifespan of Nuh was not 950. That was the period of his invitation. Difference of opinion, but in the footnotes of Jalalain it is written, he received revelation at the age of 40, invited his nation for 950. That brings it to 990. And after the floods, he lived for an additional 60 years. You know, in those times it was, oh, he just lived for just 60 years after that. Like today when a person gets sick and that you say, well, he didn't live long after his bypass, he lived for 2-3 months. In that time, the lifespan was so long that it is referred to the tail end of his life, which was 60 years, which is the long life of a person today. Be it as it may, the Prophet ﷺ says, or the quotation of Sa'id ibn Zayd, that if you were given a life as long as Nuh and you worshipped Allah, it cannot potentially equate the action or the minute that one Sahabi sat in the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So one strong possible way by virtue of which we can reform ourselves is to constantly read the lives of Sahaba. And the amazing thing of the life of any Sahabi, it is a wholesome package. So pick up the life of any Sahabi. I mean, if we're going through the political times in which we see in the world evolving and changing, and currently, you will see the political dimensions of Sahaba. See the social connotations to their life. See their financial management. In every aspect and sphere of a person's life, you will find guidance in the life of a Sahabi. Now, previously, I had touched once on the life of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, and I just want to further it a bit. You know, extracts from the life of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. The hadith that I quoted, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Tamassaku bi ahdi ibn Ummi Abd." Hold on to the recital and the teachings and the practices of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. It is said about him, amongst his salient features and his great privileges, he grew up in the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, if a child grows up in my house, he gets exposure to my qualities. And hence, if you grow up in the house of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then you grow up getting exposed to the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And as a point of reflection, someone made an amazing analogy. There's no human be it the greatest scholar, be it the greatest ruler, be it the most profound human, that will give his wife blanket permission that you can speak on any aspect of my life in public. The Prophet ﷺ's life was so transparent and so exemplary that he gives open permission to all his spouses repeatedly that you can quote any aspect of my life before anyone. Now that tells you volumes of how his character was and how impeccable his qualities were. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud grew up in the lap of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hatta qila annahu aqrabu an-nas ila rasulillahi hadyan wa samtan. That many made the observation that if you have to say anyone the closest to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was him undoubtedly. Abu Musa Ash'ari radiyallahu anhu says, لَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَمَا أَرَى إِلَّا بْنَ مَسْعُودٍ مِّنْ أَهْلِ. When I embraced Islam and I came close to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, due to the intimacy that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud enjoyed with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I literally felt he is a family member and he's a household member of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Such was his proximity and intimacy to the house of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the narration goes on to say, إِنْ كَانَ لَيُؤْذَنْ لَهُ إِذَا حُجِبْنَا وَيَشْهَدُ إِذَا غِبْنَا. That the general Sahaba had certain times where they could come and there were certain times that nobody could come. But those no-go times, at that time also Ibn Mas'ud could frequent the house of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he had house permission in the very environment of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now, just to reflect over the profoundness of knowledge that Allah had given him, and this is what I'm saying, we need to read their lives constantly to give us direction. He made a statement and a claim, and not a light claim. And obviously a Sahabi statement was free from exaggeration. He said, وَاللَّهِ مَا نَزَلَتْ آيَةٌ مِّن كِتَابِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا وَأَنَا أَعْلَمُ أَيْنَ نَزَلَتْ وَأَعْلَمُ فِي مَا نَزَلَتْ وَلَوْ أَعْلَمُ أَنَّ أَحَدًا أَعْلَمُ مِنِّي بِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ تَنَالُهُ الْمَطِيُّ لَأَتَيْتُهُ وَمَا أَنَا بِخَيْرِكُمْ. I swear by Allah, there isn't a verse in the Quran but that I am fully acquainted with the venue where it was revealed, the circumstances that prompted its revelation, the sciences and the history that explore that particular verse. And if there's anyone who knows anything more than me in Quran, I'm ready to become his student and acquire knowledge from him. However, having said this, وَمَا أَنَا بِخَيْرِكُمْ, I don't wish to claim that I am the best amongst you. Now we would find many people in our circles, touch politics, he'll tell you the man's whole profile. This is where he started in politics, this is where he made his first presence, then he became a mayor, then he became a minister, and ultimately he was inaugurated. Speak of sports, I'll tell you where the man showed phenomenal talent, how he was embraced, how he was taken further, where it evolved, till he nationally represented the nation. But here Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, there isn't a verse in the Quran, but that I'm acquainted with it. And if there's anybody who knows more than me, I'm ready to learn from him. So there's an amazing incident mentioned in the books, that one day Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was traveling by night, and at a distance there was another group traveling. And Umar radiallahu anhu spotted the group, but he couldn't identify them simply because of the cover of dark. It was night. وَكَانَ فِي الرَّكْبِ عَبْدُ ibn مَسْعُودِ. And on that particular caravan, amongst them was Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, but it only surfaced later after a dialogue ensued. Umar radiallahu anhu told one of the colleagues and companions with him, نَادِهِمْ مِنْ أَيْنَ الْقَوْمِ. Call out to them, where are these people from? So one of the group members that were with Umar radiallahu anhu addressed those people and said, مِنْ أَيْنَ الْقَوْمِ, where are you people from? فَأَجَابَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ مِنَ الْفَجِّ الْعَمِيقِ. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud answered on behalf of them, but it wasn't clear who was talking for now. Now just the other day I heard there's a phone out, and the feature of this phone is to camouflage your voice. This is the speciality of this phone. So you buy this phone exclusively to disguise yourself and to camouflage yourself. And then I don't know, do you make a prank call or what do you do? But what's aimed out of this call? So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud answered from that side. He said, "Min al-fajj al-amiq," we're from a very distant place. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, Aina turidun? Where are you people heading to? فأجاب عبد الله البيت العتيق. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, we're heading to the Kaaba. When Umar radiallahu anhu heard those two answers, he said, Inna fihim alima. I don't know who answered, but I can tell you there is a scholar and there is an alim in that group. It can only be a learned man to answer like that. It can only be a learned man. Sometimes a person asks a simple question, you say, it looks like the man is a medical professional, or he's got some medical, you know, studies or some knowledge about medical sciences. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is sitting with the Sahaba, and then he started speaking about meadows and then grazing and shepherds and flocks. And Sahaba said, oh Nabi of Allah, you look like you've been through the mill. Oh Nabi of Allah, you're talking of meadows and pastures and sheep and animals and cattle and grazing. He said, not me only, every Nabi that came on this earth, Allah made him a shepherd. That is why one of my scholars used to tell us, we select sunnats. Many of us don't even know to take a flock and become a shepherd is the sunnat of not one Nabi, but all the Anbiya that came on earth. And obviously the subtle wisdom behind this practice was to nurture a Nabi and to control and to mold and shape a Nabi, because we know what patience is needed from a shepherd. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, okay, let's engage them. So if we meet at a halfway, you know, on the way, then I'm going to ask you, how's the road ahead? Are there any traps? Is it a clear road? Where you stop? Where you off to? Those are the type of social discussions we will have when we meet at a central point, and we will get the know-how of the opposite directions of the journey. Here they meet. Umar radiallahu anhu said, let's ask them some questions about deen. He said, ask them, Ayyul Qur'ani A'zam. Listen to this dialogue. Which is the noblest verse of the Qur'an? So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud promptly answers, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. Ayatul Kursi. Umar ibn Khattab said, Nadihim Ayyul Qur'ani Ahkam. Okay, which is the most clear-cut verse of the Qur'an? So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud answers, Inna Allah ya'muru bil-adli wal-ihsani wa-ita'i dhil-qurba. It's the most clear verse, and this is the very verse which resulted, because of which Aktham bin Sayfi, a great Sahabi, accepted Islam. A man like Uthman ibn Maz'un, who was the first Muhajir to be buried in Medina, he said, I embraced Islam, but I wasn't fully convinced on the beauty of Islam. When I heard this verse, all my doubts were cleared. So then Umar radiallahu anhu said, Nadihim ayyul Qur'ani ajma'. Okay. Ask them, and a person calls out from here, and obviously they're traveling by night, and this were their discussions. This were the discussions of Sahaba. Unfortunately, we meet a person at the Kaaba. Even at the Kaaba, you know, perhaps after years we meet, there also the discussion becomes politics, becomes money, becomes business. Salim Rahmatullah Alayhi, who was the grandson of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, he says, I came to the Kaaba, and at that time the king of the time was present. So he seized the opportunity and he came to me and he said, Salim, where will I get a moment so close to you? Make a request and I will fulfill it. So Salim rahmatullah alayhi looked at him and said, what an insult. I stand in front of the Kaaba and I request the creation of Allah. That's an insult to me. He said, my apologies. He backed off. He said, as we exited from the haram, the king came running again to me. He said, my apologies. The opportunity was not right. And I didn't realize the sensitivity of the venue. But now that we're outside the Kaaba, make a request. So Salim rahmatullah alayhi said, first decide, must it be a worldly request or a spiritual request? So the king said, when it comes to spiritual things, I need to ask you more. But when it comes to worldly things, then you ask me anything and I will put it before you. So Salim rahmatullah alayhi said, the world I haven't even asked from Allah. Where am I going to ask from you? The world I haven't in my du'as asked my Allah also. Because that's too trivial for me to ask Allah that. Am I going to ask the world from you when I haven't asked my Allah? So he said, ask him the next question. Ayyul Qur'ani ajma', which is the most comprehensive verse of the Qur'an. So upon that, Abdullah ibn Umar answered the concluding verses of Surah Zilzal. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. Whoever does an atom, an iota of good, that good will inevitably benefit you. And whoever does an iota of evil, that will bounce back at you sometime or the other. Just to share two simple examples. One body was brought before the Prophet ﷺ, one corpse was brought before the Prophet ﷺ. The sifts were formed in Hayatul Sahaba, the narration appears. The Prophet ﷺ was about to say Allahu Akbar when someone tapped him from the rear and said, "O Prophet of Allah, I don't want to get into the details of this man, but I strongly advise don't lead his prayer." So the Prophet ﷺ halted, and then he turned to the gathering, and he said, "Hal ra'ahu ahadun minkum ala amalin min a'malil khair?" Can anybody present here stand up and recall any positive contribution, any noble act of the deceased here? So in Sahabi stood up, and he said, "Harasa laylatan fi sabilillah." Came forward, looked at his face, identified. "O Prophet of Allah, I can stand guarantee. We were out in battle, and it was the very deceased that offered his skills, and he stood in night to protect our belongings while we enjoyed a good sleep." The Prophet ﷺ said, "Do you testify in his favor that this is what had exactly transpired?" He said, "O Prophet of Allah, take my word." The Prophet ﷺ said, "Okay, then form the safs," and he led the salah. Then he lowered this man, and when lowering him in the grave, he made a profound statement. He said, "Rufaqa'uka yadhunnuna annaka min ahli an-nar wa ana ashhadu annaka min ahli al-jannah." Many people attending the funeral today have the perception that you are destined for hell. However, I confirm that Jannah awaits your arrival. So one good action, it served him. On the reverse, one person was with the Prophet ﷺ in a battle. He jumped into the thick of the battle, and then he slay many people, and ultimately he was killed and martyred. So somebody even said, "Glad tidings to the man, he is sailing in Jannah." The Prophet ﷺ said, "La fi burdatin ghallaha." I'm afraid the man had taken a shawl which did not belong to him, and hence it constituted a breach in the trust, and this has halted his entry into Jannah. Fi burdatin ghallaha. وَمَنْ يَغْلُلْ يَأْتِ بِمَا غَلَّ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَمَنْ يَغْلُلْ يَأْتِ بِمَا غَلَّ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Ghulul, stealing or taking something which is not allotted to you from the spoils of the war. Anyway, Umar radiallahu anhu then throws the next question. Nadi him, ask him, أَيُّ الْقُرْآنِ أَخْوَفْ. Which verse of the Quran instills the greatest fear into you? So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud answers from there, مَنْ يَعْمَلْ سُوءًا يُجْزَ بِهِ. Where Allah says in the fifth juz, whoever commits any crime, he will be subjected to the retribution of that crime. And when this verse was revealed, the likes of Abu Bakr came crying to the Prophet ﷺ, "O Prophet of Allah, what will happen to us when this verse says every sin you will be punished for?" And the Prophet ﷺ consoled him and he said, "Listen, at times you get sick, that will atone for your wrong, it will expiate your sins." And then Umar radiallahu anhu says, ask him the final question, Nadihim ayyul Qur'ani arja, which verse of the Quran instills the greatest hope into you? So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud answers and he says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَصْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِن رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Where Allah says, say unto them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those of my servants that have transgressed, do not despair from the mercy of Allah. And this is that one verse where Allah announces blanket pardon unconditionally. So there's no strings attached in this verse. There are many other, you know, verses where Allah said provided, subject to, if, pending, etc. But this verse Allah gives an unconditional forgiveness. When they answered swiftly like this, Umar radiallahu anhu said, Nadihim afikum Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. My next question is, the way you answered, you gave it away, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is amongst you. They said, Allahumma na'am, yes, Umar, you are right. Nobody else could answer you and challenge you and swiftly answer every question but other than Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. So this was the profoundness of the knowledge that he had. Another incident about this person was amazing. Subhanallah, Sahaba were sitting, and that's why I'm saying we need to read their lives to get guidance from them. And somebody made the remark that, Wallahi ma sami'at Quraishun hadha al-Qur'an yujharu laha bihi qattu. That the Quraysh have never been given the opportunity to listen to the Quran being recited in an audible manner. فَمَنْ رَجُلٌ يُسْمِعُهُمْ إِيَّاهُ. So who can pluck the courage to go in front of the Quraysh and openly recite the Quran? So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, أنا أسمعهم إياه, leave it to me, I will go and recite the Quran. So they said, لا نخشاهم عليك, we fear that, you know what, if you're going to read, they're going to attack you. إنما نريد رجلا له عشيرة تحميه وتمنعه منهم إذا أرادوه بشر. We're looking for a person who comes from a social standing, who has a nice group and family that will stand, defend, and rally around him. But obviously your social standing is not of that caliber, and I'm afraid they will not respect you and they will fall upon you. Now today's average Muslim, and Allah guide one and all, suffers an identity crisis that he finds it difficult to observe a silent Zohar prayer at the airport simply because there are so many onlookers and viewers and it won't go down well. And that's pretty much the apologetic Muslim who's apologizing about his faith. And here stands Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. مضى إلى الحرم. He goes to the Haram. حتى أتى مقام إبراهيم. He comes to مقام إبراهيم. وقريش جلوس حول الكعبة. And the Quraysh had congregated at the Kaaba. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رافعا بها صوته. He raises his voice. And he reads, الرحمن علم القرآن خلق الإنسان. Now one is eyesight in the Haram, and the Imam of the Haram reads, and it's sounding, and the lights, and the atmosphere, and it's amazing and brilliant. And here Ibn Mas'ud is reading it in a hostile environment. So they say, ماذا يقرأ ابن أم عبد تبا له إنه يتلو بعض ما جاء به محمد. What is this Abdullah Ibn Mas'ud provoking us to do? This man has an audacity. Is he reading the Quran here again? And they advance towards him and they pounce upon him and they beat him severely. And as he returns from there, وَدَّمُ يَسِيلُ مِنْهُ, the blood is flowing. So the Sahaba stand up and they embrace him and they said, هَذَا الَّذِي خَشِينَ عَلَيْكَ, I'm afraid our fears became a reality. We had cautioned you and warned you. He said, ask me what sweetness Allah gave me when I read Quran there. Ask me what sweetness Allah gave. And I've said it many times, brother. You perform your salah and put your musalla down in that plane wherever you're flying, or in that stadium wherever you are, or on any other high profile location, and there is a different pleasure to that sajda. Those magicians in the time of Musa, when Egypt and the nation supported them and then they fell in sajda and they raised their heads and Pharaoh threatened them, Ibn Kathir has categorically mentioned that ra'aw manazilahum fil jannah. They made a sajda not in a masjid, not in a place of worship, but they literally made a sajda on the stadium, if I equate it to today's terminologies. Because this is where the event was happening and this is where everybody showed up. But they stood up and they bowed to Allah. He said, Allah showed them paradise in that sajda. Nay, Allah showed them respectively their private abodes in Jannah in that sajda. So he said, لَإِن شِئْتُمْ لَأُغَادِيَنَّهُمْ بِمِثْلِهَا, if you want, I will go back and repeat the Quran. They said, لَا حَسْبُكْ لَقَدْ أَسْمَعْتَهُمْ مَا يَكْرَهُونَ, you have done what you have done. I'm not saying we got to be insensitive to people that are traveling, but at the same time, I'm saying we cannot be shy and apologetic about our faith. Just to mention a few other things in the life of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and the need to read the lives of Sahaba. It is said about Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, one day the Sahaba had gathered at the house. Look at how he had won the confidence of his peers and his contemporaries. So they came to Ali radiallahu anhu and they said, Wallahi ma ra'ayna rajulan kana ahsana khuluqan wala arfaqa ta'liman wala ashadda war'an min Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. You know, we were sitting and we were reflecting over all the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but then suddenly we all just began to feel that if there's a man that's an all-rounder, it was Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. You look at him as a teacher, you can't floor him. You see him as a companion, he's impressive. And then when you look at the man's private life, there's nobody that we can relate to in the companions that feared Allah more than Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. So Ali radiallahu anhu said, نَشَتُّكُمْ أَهُوَ صِدْقٌ مِّن قُلُوبِكُمْ, is this literally from your heart or is this lip service? He said, we swear by Allah, we live in this and we believe in this year. He said, Allahumma inni ushidu, Allahumma inni aqulu fihi mithla ma qalu, laqad qara'a al-Qur'ana fa ahalla halala wa harrama harama, faqihun fi ad-din alimun bis sunnah. Oh my Allah, I concur with their sentiments. He indeed was an amazing person. I agree on his knowledge. I second his piety. And I can only wish that I appear before Allah with a record as clean as his. Now, run you a few of his quotations, few of his quotable quotes that we talk of. He used to say, إِنِّي لَأَمْقُتُ الرَّجُلَ إِذَا أَرَاهُ فَارِغًا لَيْسَ فِي شَيْءٍ مِّنْ عَمَلِ الدُّنْيَا وَلَا عَمَلِ الْآخِرَةِ. Just one advice if you take also from today's lecture. He said, the thing that is most despicable for me is to find a human idol, not engaged in akhirah, nor constructively in this world. That's the most despicable sight for a Muslim. How can a Muslim say, I'm bored? How can a Muslim, where does that, that doesn't exist in the dictionary of a Muslim. Then he used to say the following very often, خَيْرُ الْغِنَى غِنَى النَّفْسِ. The greatest wealth is contentment. خَيْرُ الزَّادْ التَّقْوَى. The noblest provision is piety. شَرُّ الْعَمَى عَمَى الْقَلْبِ. The worst blindness is the blindness of the heart. أَعْظَمُ الْخَطَايَا الْكِذْبِ. The worst sin is a lie. شَرُّ الْمَكَاسِبْ الْرِبَى. The worst income is interest. I mean, we literally seen this economic meltdown and this recession that is happening. It's a vicious circle. I mentioned, I heard the other day on the radio that it has been found now that in addition to the fact that so many people have been laid off and they have lost their jobs and retrenched, they say the working force has become non-productive because of the overwhelming debts. If you read the papers a few weeks ago, some 2,000 to 3,000 people abandoned their cars in Dubai and took the flight and left the country. Why we can't meet up the overwhelming debts that is upon us? شر المكاسب الربا. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? He said, "Inna riba wa in kathur." Inna riba wa in kathur, and it could only be him to say it. فإن عاقبته تصير إلى قل. Verily, interest, even if it apparently multiplies your wealth, its final result is poverty. Its outcome is penury. That's where it brings you down. It cripples an economy. It cripples an economy, nay, a nation in its entirety. وَشَرُّ الْمَأْكَلِ الْيَتِيمِ. And the worst food to ever eat is to usurp the rights of an orphan. Perhaps we don't usurp the rights of an orphan, but how many of us are negligent when it comes to the inheritance of other people, other members in the family? We prolong, we drag, and we are eating the wealth of others. Just to end on the aspiration in the life of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, lived such a profound life. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لو كنت مؤمرا دون شور المسلمين لأمرت ابن أم عبد. If I had to appoint anyone in a public post without consulting, it would have been Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. I mean, you know, what a credential. And in one narration, he said, رَضِيتُ لِأُمَّتِي مَا رَضِيَ لَهَا إِبْنُ أُمِّ عَبْدٍ. I am pleased for my ummah that which Abdullah ibn Mas'ud sanctions. So in my absence, if you want to know where my pleasure lies, speak to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Now, these are the people who left a rich legacy, who we need to read about. He had taken a post in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu. He was made the minister of finance. He wasn't happy, but it was brought upon him. And Umar radiallahu anhu said to the people of Kufa, I would have loved him to be with me, but due to the need, I am deputing him there as the minister of finance. Likewise, in the time of Uthman radiallahu anhu, he had also taken a public post, but he took no remuneration. If you read the papers this morning, you will know what it's costing the state in security for the high profile people of our country. The cost implications that is towards the security measures runs into the millions. He took a post, but he took nothing. Look at his political contribution. So when he was in the throes of bed, in the throes of death, in his fatal illness, Uthman radiallahu anhu came and he said, you know what? We need to clear this here, because I mean, end of the day, your money is sitting with the national treasury and that's a trust, so I need to discharge it. Can I arrange for it quickly? He said, La hajata li fi. What am I going to do with the money? I'm going to take my last breath. He said, Yakunu li banatika min ba'dik. Give it to your daughters quickly, and at least you know you gave them something. You didn't deny them before you died. He got up. He said, now you're touching a sensitive nerve. Inni amartu banati an yaqra'na kulla laylatin surat al-waqi'ah. Each man can leave wealth for his children in the manner he deems better. I left my wealth for my daughters by introducing them to read Surah Waqiyah every day. إني أمرت بناتي أن يقرأن كل ليلة. I'm saying if we cannot leave that exclusively, then let us leave that concurrently with our other money. If you cannot use the miswak exclusively, my brother, use the toothbrush and the miswak. Ideally, exclusively the sunnah only. But as a beginning point, at least encourage them on both fronts. Give them the teachings itself. And this thing here, I leave you on this note, the aspiration that he had in his heart. Such a clean life, such a noble legacy, such a rich standard that he loved. Yet it is mentioned about him, he said, there was one man I truly envied in my life, and there's one aspiration I lived with. كُنْتُ مَعَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي غَزْوَةِ تَبُوكِ. I was with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in the battle of Tabuk. فَقُمْتُ مِنْ جَوْفِ اللَّيْلِ. I stood up in the dead of night. فَرَأَيْتُ شُعْلَةً مِنْ نَارِ. I seen a flame of fire at a distance. فَاتَّبَعْتُهَا. So I stood up and I followed the flame. فَإِذَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَأَبُو بَكْرٍ وَعُمَرْ. And when I get up, it's in Tabuk. Tabuk was the last campaign in which the Prophet participated. آخر غزوة في حياته غزى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. So everybody was sleeping, resting. I see this flame. I see Allah's Nabi is up and Abu Bakr and Umar on his right and left. وَإِذَا عَبْدُ اللَّهِ ذُو الْبِجَادَيْنِ الْمُزَنِي قَدْ مَاتْ. And I got close. I seen one of our companions who were with us in the battle, Abdullah Dhul Bijadain radiyallahu anhu, had passed away. Wa Abu Bakr wa Umar, and Abu Bakr and Umar are digging the grave. And then I'm watching wa Rasulu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi hufratihi. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is standing in the grave. And he says to Abu Bakr and Umar, Adniya ilayya akhakuma, hand over Abdullah to me. And I am like now envying this man to the limit. You're out in the battle, Abu Bakr giving you ghusl, Umar carrying you, Allah's Nabi in the grave, and I'm sitting and I'm watching this here. And he said, Adniya ilayya akhakuma, hand your brother over to me. And then Abu Bakr and Umar hand him over. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam embraces him in his blessed hands and then lowers him into the grave. And then he looks at Abdullah Dhul Bijadain and he says, Allahumma inni amsaytu anhu radiyan fa ardi anhu. Oh my Allah, I am pleased with this man as a Nabi, and I am satisfied with him as a companion. I trust my Allah, you also will be equally pleased with him as his creator. He says, when I looked at this, Ya laytani kuntu sahiba hadhihi al-hufra. If I lived with a burning aspiration, it was, oh my Allah, I wish I had a death like this. Now on this note, I want to alert you brothers, perhaps you are aware of it or not, but recently I heard this in the news. Some of the food outlets have promoted a campaign that if you go and eat there, then your child gets an opportunity to put a name in a box and potentially he could be selected amongst I don't know how many children from South Africa to walk onto the stadium when the World Cup will kick off with the celebrity and player of his choice. Now, if I consciously go there and I feel honored about this, that my son walks onto the stadium where globally it's televised and billions across the globe watch this, and I feel honored and inflated that my seven-year-old child walks hand in hand with a person I wouldn't want to choose to mention names in the masjid, whose private life, whose social life, whose moral lives have been exposed in the media and in the public eye, and you know better. Can you imagine when this child grows up and he then idolizes such people and then he says that, no, but I am gay and it's normal to be gay and I have these inclinations, but it's normal to have these inclinations. Then we don't need to ask anybody else questions. We need to ask ourselves questions. So again, in conclusion, as I said, my opening verses, the Quran commenced with Iqra. The first injunction was read. We need to read the lives of these pious, read the lives of Sahaba, so these zeals and aspirations become realities and it is transmitted into us all. Allah inspire us with the reality. Wa akhru da'wana alhamdulillah.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.